It's a constant assault. We're back again, and it's a daily thing now. Just about I guess we just feel the need to. You know, there's just a spirit on this that it's urgent to get the word out, to get the Rima out, the guests out, the everything that we're putting out. It just seems like there's a great need for it, and so we're here, and we're ready to go, and we're. You know, we are, what can I say about it? We are absolutely energized. There is nothing that the enemy can do that can really stop what's going on. Nothing the enemy can do that can stop the call of some of you to be more vocal, to be more, just to be more bold. And it just seems like, you know, this is a period of great spiritual upwelling and a great anointing. At the same time, it's the darkest period I have ever seen in my lifetime. I don't think anyone in this country, I guess you would have to have been in Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia, you know, communist China at the time of the people, so-called People's Revolution, to really feel the dark evil. And I think now you're starting to understand the word communism. You're starting to understand the word Marxism. You're starting to understand that Marxism and Satanism are identical. You're starting to understand that this is the Luciferian order, the global Marxist order, which is godless, but that, of course, is Luciferian. And the people that are behind the scenes that control all that, they do fervently worship their God and fervently practice the occult black arts and fervently have their whole order of high priests and priestesses and, you know, the whole matrix of their churchianity, which is the biggest thing on earth and in your face more than anything else and the most hidden. And here we are on the eve of Halloween. Okay. Halloween, I don't think people in this country understand it because you've been traumatized. You've been traumatized by the Wizard of Oz. You've been traumatized by Halloween and Halloween stories. You've been traumatized to think, in other words, that it's okay. Like, for example, if I murder enough people in front of you, you become traumatized and mind controlled that somehow that thing in you that says it's not okay is beaten. And then I can do whatever I want with you. Well, maybe I'm overstepping a bit there. My guest today, very special guest, is Dr. Pat Holliday. Dr. Pat Holliday is, as you know, we've had her on many times before, some of the best actual broadcasts that we've ever done have been in connection with Dr. Pat, especially in dealing with things like where she is so knowledgeable about the occult, about these black arts, about these dark spirits, about this other realm that, and she was instrumental in getting Bishop Kenko to talk with us and, you know, to just really uncover all of these things. But I don't want to go into a lot of that because I actually have her here on the line. Dr. Pat, welcome to the Zeph Report. Thank you.
I'm always so happy to be with you, Zeph, because you never know what God's going to do when we get together on the air. But one thing we do know is God wants the information out in America concerning the reality that Jesus Christ is real and that Christians need to dedicate their lives and themselves to his cause. Because as you were describing in the intro about how the people in the world, they know their God and they serve their gods and they have plans and objectives. And many Christians go to church and they just have a playtime Christianity where they jiggle their meat around, jump up and down, fall on the floor, laugh, and give the preacher a few dollars and go home and think that they did God a favor by showing up. And, you know, that kind of Christianity is what's gotten America into the mess that it's in. Because when a country becomes backslidden from its God, that's when the judgment of God begins to fall on the nation. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Obama is a judgment of God on America. And I believe that his religion and his faith is springing forth while Christians are going into deeper and deeper darkness as we talk, because many of them don't even realize that something is going on. They're so blinded and mind controlled. Mm-hmm. And so with his religion that he has, it's a religion of idolatry, and it's a religion of Satanism, and it's a religion of total spiritual blindness. You know, when he went up to Georgetown University a couple of months ago, and he said that he wouldn't go to that Catholic college unless they covered the name of Jesus that they had over the crucifix, yeah, over the door. And they made a black triangle, and they put it over the name of Jesus. You heard a few peeps about it, but you really didn't hear an uproar about that.
No.
And then as he traveled across the world and he told the people of the world that America is no longer a Christian nation, hardly any of the preachers got riled up about that either. You see, they're under a tremendous mind control. The Lord told me it was bewitching, enchanting spirits. And those spirits are the same spirits that you find over in the book of Galatians, where Paul said to those Christians when he came back, he had preached to them formally, and he said, "Who has bewitched you?" And so they turned from the knowledge of knowing who Jesus is to the knowledge of the message from some occultist or some man. And he was just amazed that they could have known the living Christ and turned around to serve a different God. And that's kind of the way it is in America today. We are going after not me and you, but many people in America have turned from the living God and have sought after money, spiritual religious stars, people that they put up into such a godhood that it doesn't matter what they do, how far they fall, what they teach, they still honor those people. And when people like you and I come along and we say, "Look, that person's not teaching the truth. That person is not teaching the Word of God anymore," then we're the ones that become demonized. And, you know, it was that way with Jesus. And so we're in good company. And they call Jesus everything in the book, everything, even a whorehopper, the wine bibber, casting out devils by Beelzebub. And he didn't pay any attention to him. He just went right on and did his work. And that's what I do, and I'm certain that's what you're doing.
That's what we have to
do. So God is going to honor those that stand for his cause in such darkness.
Yeah, and I will maintain Jesus is the only way out of that darkness. He is the only light that that's been accorded to the world. And, you know, all these other religions may have their ways, including a lot of the Christian ways that are not in Christ, you know. But religion has its way, the doctrines of men, and there may be good practices and good ethics there, but it's not the deliverance from the satanic slavery that we're born into. That's the problem.
Right.
We don't get free.
Difference.
It's a big difference, and it's really not that Jesus replaces the religions. You can have your background, your culture. It's just that he sets you free, which may be something even that religion has nothing to do with these days.
Yeah, well, he's a personality. He is God.
Yes.
And he is a supreme personality, if you will. And the way he sets you free is he is stronger spirit than the devil. And so whenever you have been involved in a lot of darkness and mind control and the things that people get involved with today, he's able to set them free. And that's what a religious being or a personality, they can lead your mind and they can even lead your spirit, but they cannot set your spirit free. And I think that's what the differences are.
And not only that, but people that follow the devil, obviously, you know, in whatever name you want to call them, that always wind up in ruin. I mean, that's another reason we warn, because we don't want to see you guys, you know, wind up like, you know, the top Satanists in the world, say Aleister Crowley, winds up completely infirm and penniless. And his friends, no matter who he calls, nobody comes to his aid. Nobody gives him any money. He's basically starving to death and dies of sickness, starvation, and nothing. And all the things he did and all the degrees he had and all, he was lauded all over the world as being the big top Satanist and, you know, whispered around circles in the inner circles of the secret societies, how this guy is really the ultimate beast and all that. He almost was worshipped by people at one time. Penniless, broke, same thing with Anton LaVey, same thing with all of them.
Yeah, and Parsons. But Parsons and Aleister Crowley,
right,
or Crowley, I guess they called him, I believe that they were the entrance door into the supernatural, mm-hmm, where they began to do ritualisms, and they were the first to open up the stargates so that people, fallen angels could come from that side onto this side. And when Aleister Crowley opened up the first one, it was called LAM, L-A-M, and he even drew a picture of it. Mm-hmm. Looks like Larry King Live to me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I want to also mention just briefly the Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard was a part of this whole thing, too.
Right, right. And see, what they did, now that group were with the NASA, Parsons were, mm-hmm, was with the NASA, and what they were looking for was the Babylonian spirits. And you can't understand really what's going on in the world unless you understand in the occult realms that these people have flown at the highest realms of Satanism, and the devil has a plan. And what I believe is happening is that they are trying to fulfill Scripture, and they are putting into place what they think the Bible says about the end times. And a lot of people last 10 years or so they were saying things like America is Babylon. Well, I would say no, America's not Babylon, because of the fact that in the Scriptures you see Babylon from Genesis all the way throughout the Bible, and at the last moment of time, God wouldn't have transferred it over to a young country that's only 200 years old. Mm-hmm. America is not Babylon, but America enabled a Babylon to rise back up and exist so that it can be an entity for the end times. You see, the Bush family were very, very supernatural, but they were supernatural in the occult and in the Bohemian Grove. And when people get to that level of demonology, they walk and talk with those devils, and they know those devils. And so Bush, they created the war over there for the purpose of reentrance into Babylon and taking control of the city of Babylon. Babylon was recreated and rebuilt by Saddam, and he rehung the gardens, and also he brought many of the statues of iniquity back in there, antiquity, but iniquity too. Unless you understand demonology, you just really can't understand what these wars are all about. And the Bush, the young Bush, they sent a plane in, and they hauled off all of those statues from the city of Babylon, and nobody knows where they are. But why did they do that? Because the spirit stays with the statue that it's assigned to receive the worship. Now, in Daniel, the prince of Persia is the one that had the spiritual warfare to stop Daniel from giving the prophecy of the end times. Mm-hmm. And so they were after the one world government devils that were in that time. And so what Bush did now, he built a new embassy there, and that embassy cost Americans $850 million. And they called it the Bush Palace over there. Well, what I believe that embassy is going to be, it's going to be the Palace of the Antichrist. And at the same time, that that area over there is going to be in existence, and it will become the commerce country of the world. Now, you could have never believed that maybe 10, 5 years back, but when you see that the international bankers just went in and drained all of the finances from the Federal Reserve Bank and sent them to other banks in other countries, and that most of a lot of the gold is owned by the bankers and Rothschild himself, and America is descending now, and unless God were to give us a miracle, we will soon be a third world country. America could not be Babylon. Now, the United Nations wants to move the United Nations over to Babylon. Where are they going to move? They're going to move in that big embassy that Bush built. And so what I see so clearly is that these internationalists and these bankers are planning to bring forth the Book of Revelation and Daniel. They are planning to bring forth the Antichrist of their choosing, and they're planning on setting up Jerusalem and Babylon as the two cities of the world. Now, if you look at Jerusalem, what's happening over there, there's the top of the triangle is the Rothschild family, which is the highest witchcraft family in the world. And they own all the gold. They come on the bank floor every day and set the price of gold in London. Now, they have rebuilt Jerusalem. And if you go up on the and Google the court, Supreme Court of Israel, you will see all of the symbols of the New World Order there built into that building. And so they are planning on putting the Antichrist into Jerusalem. There's a man by the name of Tony Blair that was the past Prime Minister of Britain that is going to be the President of the EU. Now, when he was finished with his run in Britain, what he did is he went up on the mountain that they call the Mountain of Sin, and he and these four countries that they call the Quadrant wrote the covenant that the Antichrist will sign in Jerusalem, and now he's going to be the president. So it's all sort of just coming together in a massive plan that most Christians can't understand what's happening, because they don't understand that the occult is real, that the devil's real, and that God said that the time would come that the whole world would walk in one mind after the Antichrist. Mm. And so what we're seeing is through mind control and their satanic techniques, just about the whole world is walking in agreement with these evil people.
I don't see any. I see no Christians that know. I mean, just this little handful, Pat, that really understand. And, you know, people that listen to this program versus the millions who don't and who are just out there in the Christian world. They don't know anything about it because they're part of it.
Yeah, and they're under the mind control.
Right.
And you see the thing about the mind control. And I know that you know an awful lot about it, too. But what the mind control does is when they slip in the hypnotic powers, it blocks the conscious mind so that they rule a person from the subconscious mind. And so through the powers of television and also through the powers of religion, particularly in many of your Christian churches, have fallen under a powerful, powerful, what I call wizards. They're not preachers, but they use techniques of mind control to keep the people from knowing the truth. And people like Rick Warren, for instance.
Yeah, that's a great example. It's a great example.
Yeah, because, see, he has 400,000 preachers following him, and all he did was take the corporate model of mind control and bring it into the church and teach it to the preachers, and then they use it over their people's minds. And you know what's so interesting about it is that he is, in my opinion, not a Christian at all. He says he is a member of the CFR. And so what they did is they took over the Christian churches and they used money to do it. And the preachers ran after the money instead of Jesus, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And they're all part of a club, though. You know, they back each other up and they know they're wrong. That they, I think deep down, what they really think is that, you know, Satan must be God, or else they wouldn't do this.
And also because the world is following after him, which the Bible says that he is the God of the world, and he's right. The God of the air.
And he is.
And he is.
Yeah.
And see, that's where the separation and division comes, is to realize that you have to totally depend on Jesus to be able to walk with the Lord and to be able to escape the powers and the principalities that are over the world, because there's so few people that will sell out and commit their lives to Christ so that they can escape the powers of darkness that we're talking about here.
Yeah, what happens to them? You know, okay, let's say that their whole life they're hoping for some pop, but isn't it true that when Satan's done using them, when they're no longer effective, you know, let's say they may get old, infirm, broke, who knows, something. Isn't it true that they get spit out? I mean, it's not like they're taken care of.
On this side of the veil too.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, who's gone to be with the Lord now, but my husband had a cousin that was a CIA, and they used to stop in and see us all the time, and I would try to tell him about Jesus. And he said, please, Pat, don't mention his name to me. He says, I hate Jesus. And he said, I was raised Orthodox. And he said, when they changed the language from Greek to Russian, I went to church one day, and I heard them say, eat my body, drink my blood. And he said, I got sick to my stomach and went out and threw up. And he said, I just don't like Jesus. And so whenever he started to die, his wife called down here, and she used to think that I was an occultist because I'm a supernatural Christian, and people get healed and devils get cast out. And so, you know, she couldn't discern what was different between me and the psychics. But anyway, she called my husband
bad.
And she said, Vad, she said, is Pat still in the voodoo stuff? And he said, yes, she still follows Jesus. And she said, would you get her to pray for my husband? Said, he's dying. And she said, he's fighting the demons off with his bare hands. And he was dying when she called down here. And so they will know at the end of their life what God they served. And unfortunately, there's so many of them that are spiritually blinded. And when the Bible says, when the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch, Jesus said that. That's really what happens, because that blindness comes over the mind, and they cannot supernaturally and spiritually discern the difference in the spirits and in who Jesus is and who the devil is.
But don't you think that a lot of these people don't want to suffer? That's why they sell out to the devil, because they don't want the world to come down on them?
Well, that plus they want mammon. They want the power of money. You know, I remember hearing Bishop Kenko preach one time, and he talked about the spirit of mammon.
Yeah.
And when he was down in underneath the sea, learning to be a wizard, he knew all of these devils. He knew them when he saw them, and he talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he described mammon as being about 8 feet tall, and said when he walks like he has springs on his feet. And, of course, if they sell out to mammon, then they serve the devil, because Jesus said you cannot serve mammon and God at the same time. Now, I think that's why the Christian church just took a rapid descent in the last 10 years or 15 years, because the Christian TV people, and I think most of those are not real, but
no.
They taught Christians to serve Jesus seeking for money instead of seeking for who he is. And so when they went looking for the money, they lost Christ. I heard one of the local preachers, I turned in this last week just to see what they were preaching, because I hadn't watched them for a while. And, of course, you know, everybody's lost a lot of money, their mortgages, their retirement, everything. And so he's up there like a nut saying this. He says, well, I know times are rough and tough, he said, but God is telling me your stuff is coming.
Yeah, just go ahead and fill that envelope out, send your love gift in, and to make sure you sow your seed, because you know God's going to be faithful and give you 1,000 times that seed. So get busy and make some money.
And all of those preachers are wealthy, and the people are dead broke. And but they sit there absolutely entranced with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of those faith preachers like Copeland and Creflo Dollar and those kind, they're teaching that they are little gods.
Right.
And they don't teach the Bible like we do. They say that Jesus went down into hell and the devil just beat him up, and that's why we go to heaven, is because he goes to hell. And of course, the reason that we go to heaven is because he died on the cross for us and shed his blood. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no salvation. So they're all false, but they're very powerful. And the people, the poor people, well, you know what I think? I think we're in what the Bible describes as the great falling away.
Yes, absolutely. And at the same time, it's the great rising of evil going in concert with it. And, you know, it's almost like one is dependent. The darker it gets, the light, you know, the kind of the more anointed, or the more defined, you might say, the more you see a dividing of the sheep and the goats. You see who's a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And who's a goat?
Right.
We're able to see our brothers and sisters so much more clearly now.
That's right.
Than we could say 5 years ago, even, or even 2 years ago.
The Bible just absolutely shows a line between the dark and the light. In 2 Corinthians 6:15 through 17, the Bible says there, "What concord hath Christ with Baal?" Which is Satan, you know. And he says, it says, "And what part has he believeth an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" And that's where we are. We're in the temple of idols in America. I have a bunch of newsletters that I do on remnant.org. If they go up there, it's called remnantradio.org. And there's a lot of stuff up there that you just won't find anyplace else. You'll see that I expose some of these people. I just call them out by name.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just talk about Hagee for a moment. Hagee.
You don't need salvation. You know, if you're a Jew, you don't need Jesus. You go straight to heaven.
Exactly.
That's insane.
And
insanity.
See, they've got a different. He says they've got a different covenant than we do, and yet if you have a brain, you know that the Jews are the ones that created the Christian church, and there was only one Gentile writer in the New Testament. That was Luke, Dr. Luke.
Right.
And so one of Paul's jobs was always trying to stop the Jews from Judaizing and bringing Christians back underneath the law. And so he's just insane. But see, it's worse than that, because what he does is he serves the Zionist Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And as I see it, there are two kinds of Jews. There's a Zionist Jew, which are the Jews, according to Jesus in the New Testament, the Jews in Satan's synagogue. And then there are real Jews that follow the Torah, follow the Bible.
And there are very few of those, as compared to, it's just very similar to people that follow Jesus for real.
Exactly.
There's just,
exactly.
This will be the remnant described in the Bible that will accept Jesus in the end, you know, the prophecy, if you will. And we all know there's one covenant, and there's not two or three or four or five or six or eight. And
right.
But Zionism is it used to not be a political movement, you know, in ancient Israel, if you will. It is a political movement today, and it doesn't really have anything to do with religion. It's a secular movement. It's a political movement. It has to do with this global. Actually, they're all fighting to see who's going to be in the top of the pyramid for this new Babylon, you know.
They all, each of these families want to be the Antichrist.
Right.
And, of course, I believe that it could possibly be, Rothschild's grandson, David Rothschild, mm-hmm. who looks exactly like Jesus. And you can Google him, and you'll
see him
on the internet. But somebody said, "Yeah, but he's not very. He doesn't seem to have a real sparky personality." And I said, "Yeah, but that's because the Apollyon that comes out of the sea, that demon that possesses the Antichrist, might not be in possession of him yet."
Yeah, you need the supernatural anointing and power. You need that indwelling. Before you really, and then it's a day and night change. A person could become like a superhero type, you know, like a comic book superhero overnight, like from Clark Kent to Superman, you know, just by having that demon indwelt.
That's right.
You know,
the demon, and then the person becomes no more. You know, I wrote a book, and they can find it up on patholiday.com, called Salutary Satanist. And in that book, I was doing deliverance on this man who was worshiping Satan, and he came to me to be free. And during the deliverance session, I heard this supernatural voice, and it was hollering, "Help me, help me." And I took my ear and followed where the voice was coming from. And it was coming from the pit of his stomach. And I said, "Who are you?" And this voice said, "I am Daniel." And that was the man that I was ministering to. And he said, they've got me bound down here, and I can't get out. And when he said that, I said, I loose you in the name of Jesus. And his spirit came loose, and he jumped up off the floor with his hands up in the air, shouting, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. And that showed me what happens to them when they become demon-possessed. The demon just cages them and takes use of their body. And so it's like they're no more. Their personality is gone, and they're down there, and the demon is doing the work in their body.
Gee, I've seen Disney movies say look the same thing, like the evil sea witch putting Neptune in that little bottle, like make him a little wimp. And then, you know, I mean, cartoons show us all this stuff.
It does.
My guest today is the incredible Dr. Pat Holliday, who has more knowledge really about the occult than, you know, and between her and Bishop Kanko, those are the two most knowledgeable people I know. And that's why she's on the Zeph Report now that we have cranked up again with this schedule. And here we are just 2 days before Halloween. I'm going to take a break right now. We'll be back with Dr. Pat in just one moment. Stay right there, Dr. Pat. You may not be able to speak with me, but I'm going to go ahead and do what I've got to do here. Look, folks, we really do appreciate, you know, your help and the people that have helped us out and got us to where we are now. You've done that. The ratings that we have in the podcastosphere are, you know, for what we do, we're at actually the very top position of what we do. We sit, you know, actually we're number one today. I don't know how long that'll last, but you put us there. Number one in religion and spirituality. And I think we're number 19 overall out of thousands and thousands, out of hundreds of thousands of podcasts, and probably worldwide out of millions. So that's where we are today, because I know you need the information. I just want to go ahead and thank all of you who have been, particularly, generous in, you know, your support over the years, because it has literally kept this flow going. Even in the dark time, even on the backside of the desert, I was able to keep up the Zeph Report, at least in terms of teaching, preaching, giving you Rima as I got it. And you've tracked this whole thing. So I just thank you very much for the support. And all of you who need to write to us, write, because we do read your letters occasionally on the air, but we read every single one of them. Best way to get in touch is by sending your letter to 5 Bisbee Court, number 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. That's the Zeph Report at 5 Bisbee Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Christian Books, unparalleled source.
Christian Bookstore.
Go see Barbara Marcotti today.
Cornerstone.
Barbara Marcotti, 888-239-9890.
Exclusively on the Zeph Report.
Cornerstone-Unlimited.com.
Barbara Marcotti.
The Zeph Report.
Cornerstone.
Richard Wilbrand. Like I need a book for underground Christian needs. The latest. See Barbara Marcotti at Cornerstone Books. The latest.
Cornerstone-Unlimited.com. 888-239-9890. Predatory capitalism.
Uncertainty.
Fear. Gold.
401k.
Buy gold. Where?
gold.
International Collectors Associates.
Buy gold.
Call Mike Horsey.
Where?
International Collectors Associates.
Where do I get gold? Where can I buy it?
800-525-9556, extension 105.
Still valuable after thousands of years. Call Mike
Call
Horsey.
Mike Horsey. 800-525-9556, extension 105.
800-525-9556, extension 105.
800-525-9556, extension 105.
Tell them Zeph sent you.
Okay, back again with Dr. Pat Holliday. Welcome back. Welcome back, Pat. And it's great to talk to you. I want to turn us to
Halloween.
Halloween and this, you know, mind controlling America and a little bit of the geopolitical. Okay, let me just tell you what I'm feeling in the spirit right now. I'm feeling like huge rituals are going on that involve healthcare, the Copenhagen Treaty, the Marxist thing, Halloween, and traumatizing the people here. And I feel this sense that they're all going to be poor here. I mean, they're all going to be taken from.
They do rituals, and unfortunately, they're very sincere about what they're doing, and they put everything they have into it. Like your ministry and my ministry, we sort of just struggle along, and as people get the vision of what we're doing and some sort of an understanding, every now and then somebody will send a little money. And because of the rape of the church with some of these mega ministries, we never talk about what we go through financially. But I know what I go through, and I can imagine what you go through. And so it ends up that we're always working on a shoestring. Mm-hmm. To do what they just have millions of dollars to do anything they want to do. And I only feel led to mention this, Zeph, and I know that you don't talk about money, but I feel led to mention this because the Bible really does say that you'll get rewarded if you put your money into good ground. And so all of those people that have served those television demonic ministries all of these years, that's why they're broke and poor, because they haven't served the gospel and they haven't served Jesus Christ. And so I would just urge people that get blessed by your program and by what I do to pray about instead of putting your money into these false places. Why not support people who are putting their lives out on the line? And so I just wanted to say that. I hope you don't get upset.
I appreciate the people who have supported the show. We had one guy that totally took care of our because we are in a rural area. We don't have cable or DSL or anything like that. So they had to put in a T1 line. And the T1 line is a commercial, as people know, a commercial line, a commercial bandwidth. And, you know, you sort of pay for the whole thing. So our bill on that is like $550 a month. I know that's going to floor some people. But that's the only way that we can communicate other than, say, you know, we're looking into cell phones now, you know, to the 3G, 4G network. Those are getting better. So that may be an alternative for us. But we have a 5-year contract with this, and we have maybe two more years to go on it. And there was a guy that just, he took care of the whole thing for the year, and we were so blessed, and he's still employed.
So
it all worked out. Yeah, it all worked out. And you know, but we were thrilled that we threw that right at the bandwidth. And then, you know, so we've been fine. The thing is, I think it's important for people to support, like, for example, if they listen to, that's what I try to do. When I listen to anyone's podcast, there's time and money and talent, and doing this rather than going to a job somewhere, let's say, that you're making a sacrifice there, because obviously you can make more money at almost any job. So the idea that people are doing that for a belief, you know, that has to be honored. You know, the fact they do deserve to be supported. The podcast wouldn't actually be there unless it was for, you know, people that were, are supportive. Your ministry, Miracle Outreach Ministries at patholiday.com, wouldn't be there, unless people, you know, responded to you in the ministry. Now, the Holy Spirit has something to do with that by also telling people, oh, give to this one, give to that one. My attitude is God's economy is freely give, freely receive. When you get a leading in the Spirit to give, you don't need to ask God why or tell the person you're doing it. Sometimes, you know, I just like to give somebody something. I say, you don't owe me anything. You don't even know where it, sometimes we just give where they don't even know where it came from.
That's right.
And that's beautiful.
But the Bible does say a worker is worthy of their hire.
Right.
And so you spend hours and hours doing what you do. Sometimes I'm up all night long working at my age.
40 books. 40
well,
books.
80 now.
80 books, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And,
unbelievable.
You know,
great. Fantastic.
We have thousands of teaching plans and MP3s, and that's what Miracle Internet Church is about. We are cataloging some of our MP3s and our television shows, and I write like a little blog on there. And so in addition to other things that I do, I'm a pastor, and I work, for my age, I work as hard as any young person you ever saw.
Yes.
But, like you, we don't beg for money or anything like that. But, it does take money to be able to feed the sheep. And so the only reason why I mentioned it, Brother Zev, is that people will think about it. Think about what they are doing with their finances. And maybe readjust to put it where God would have them to put it.
And if you're not doing anything with them, in other words, you're just sitting, you know, you make your money and then you're worried you won't have. Well, there's a scripture in Matthew 13 that just says, you know, it kind of reiterates that this idea that if you know, let's just take the parable of the talent. If you bury that in the backyard, that even that will be taken away from you. You know,
right.
I think the scripture goes something like this. If you, you know, to he who has not, in other words, has a, the way I read this is like a spirit of lack, a spirit of, well, I don't have enough, so I can't give anything to anybody. Okay. That attitude, that of never having enough, and I can't give to anybody, it leads to the spirit of lack. So from he who has not, even what little he has will be taken away.
That's the word.
And that, you know that, where that's what you were speaking earlier today. So that's what we see with America and the American church. They're all broke, yet the pastors are rich because, you know, they had little, and they had little in the way of spiritual understanding and discernment, obviously. And so
okay.
that led them into a financial hole because most of the time when people, and not all the time, because I know a lot of people who are very good, you know, supporters of our show over the years, and then they got downsized or they got fired from their jobs and they're starting up new jobs, and it's kind of a different thing. But I might add, those people that I know that this has happened to are making it through a time where a lot of people aren't making it. You know, they are still,
yeah.
Even though they're not, they don't have as much as they had, it doesn't matter. You know, God is still rewarding them, taking care of them, providing. He's just saying, look, Americans, you're not going to have what you had before. You're going to have to just really rely on me more to get to just survive at this point. But survival,
that's
also
it
also means, you know, Obama wants to spread the wealth around in his Marxist plan. But the way of the Holy Spirit of God's economy is we do this in a spiritual sense. It is almost like communism because it is freely give, freely receive. You give it, you get it from somewhere you don't know how it got there, and you give it when the Lord tells you to. You don't know where it's going, what it's going to be, and you just go on with your life, and it all works out for everybody. And
yes.
So that's it. Too many people in this country are, they just have a spirit of lack, like I can't give you because then I won't have, then I'm going to starve, you know.
Right.
So they don't give anyone, they don't give to anything. And, you know, it's not a required tithe. That's not it. It's just that if you don't give anything anywhere, and if you have nothing financial to give, then give time, give
exactly.
effort, give labor then, bake cookies for somebody, you know.
Amen.
Go visit someone in the hospital. We need to really start getting mobile out there in some way. Let's start giving, and you'll see. I'm not saying just financial giving to this ministry, that one, whatever. But let's let the Spirit flow and let's quit blocking it.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, Seth, you know, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Halloween because it's the eve of Halloween.
Yes, it is.
And I knew Irene Park. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. But she was a woman that wrote a book called The Witch That Switched. And Irene was the head witch of the state of Florida. And she billed herself when she was alive as the most wicked woman in the world. And she wrote a little book when she was running around talking about Jesus on Halloween. And she told me some things about Halloween that I know a lot of people just don't know. She said that Halloween was one of the biggest holidays for the wizards and the witches. She said that on Halloween night that they would prepare their candies for the children that they were going to give out, their covens, and they would urinate on the candies and also defecate and rewrap them. She said they would put razor blades and apples, and they would work what she called powers on the candy. So a spirit, each time a kid came to the door, a spirit would be released to follow that child home and would stay with that child as a spiritual guide and sooner or later would take control of that child's life. Now, also, she grew up in a household where witchcraft and familiar spirits, voodoo and drugs and pornography and all kinds of Satanist powers were available to her. And she became the high priestess of all of the witches in the state of Florida. And she also at the same time became a heroin addict. Now, you see, I like to show in my teachings how the spirit realm works and the devil's side, but then how Jesus works on his side. And I met this lady down in Tampa. There was two ladies. They were just little old ladies in tennis shoes. And the Lord, in their prayer life, told them that he wanted them to pray for Irene Park. Neither one of these ladies knew who Irene Park was. And but they started praying. And then the Lord told one of them, he said, I want you to fast for 40 days. So she began to fast for 40 days, and at the end of the fast, he said, now I want you and this other lady to go to Irene's house. I've got a message for her. So he showed them where to go, and they went to her house. Now, Irene had two adopted Indian boys that she called her sons. They were Indian braves, probably 6 feet tall, and they were also her bodyguards. So they walked right into her compound, and she said the Indian braves had their hands folded, and they never blinked an eye. They just walked right past all of those guards and walked into where she was, and they said, Irene, the Lord Jesus Christ has a message for you. And she said, I'm not interested in anything he's got to say. And they said, well, we're going to tell you what it is anyway. And they said, the Lord Jesus said to tell you that he loves you. And that was it. And they turned around and walked out. Well, she was so furious at what had happened. She went into her altar, her kiva, she called it, and she began to, that's an Indian altar.
Yes, we have those here.
And she began to call her sons to bring the heroin because she was going to conjure up her devils to go kill those two Christian ladies. Well, what happened as she began to conjure up those devils, instead of those devils going to the ladies, they started attacking her. So she said, bring me some more heroin. And of course, what happened was the sons had to take her over to the emergency room. And the doctor said that every organ in her body was shutting down and she was going to die. So she told her son, she says, take me out of this hospital. I will not die in a hospital. And she, as they were taking her home, there was a tent ministry going on. She said, take me over to that tent. So they took her up to the front of the tent and carried her up there. And whoever the preacher was prayed for, and she, God instantly resurrected her. And the lady that fasted for her, her name was called Faith, had Irene to come and live in her home. And when she first arrived, she couldn't eat anything. She fed her sassafras tea with a little dropper.
Wow.
And God restored her, and she went all over the nation speaking to the church, and she was on a 700 Club and PTL. They never would let me on those two shows.
No, I understand. Yeah.
You understand.
I sure do.
So do I. But anyway, her testimony is very, very powerful as to how it works in the spirit realms. Yeah. And there really are two spirits, and God is very active.
It's very rare, though, Pat. I mean, your story, that's incredible. I love hearing stories like that, of that regeneration and that miracle healing, that instant turnabout. But, again, it's very rare today. Don't you agree with that? It's very rare to see something like that these days.
One of the things is, I believe, Christians are not praying, and it takes prayer to open up into the spirit realms, and it truly does happen that Christians can make a difference, but they have to live for Christ in order to do that.
The key here was the 40-day fast, the devotion, you know, living like a monk. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, you know, with a lot of us, we've been given the call, but the proviso is, if you're going to follow me now and I'm going to open doors for you and your voice is going to go out there and you're going to do these things for me, you have to be purified. In other words, you're going to have to live like a monk. I mean, you're going to have to sleep eat and do the ministry. And as far as, you know, the rest of the folly that humans want to get involved in, you can't do that. Now you really
have to
promise me, because if you can't really fail in that, or it's going to be a real fail, a colossal failure. So you really, this time, have to be extra specially vigilant if I'm going to give you the anointing that's going out today. And look, this Halloween, Pat, is the strongest spiritual darkness I have ever felt in my, except for when I was a child, where I was privy to some really very, very nasty, dark things. I saw some very dark things then. But this feels like it did back in, and when I was a child, let's see, around 1960, 1961, 1962 is the time I'm referring to. And let's look at it geopolitically. Have you ever seen anything like this before? I mean...
the reason that it's so powerful and strong is because your leaders, the people at the top of our nation, are Satanists.
Right.
And they're into the sacrifices and idolatry and those type of things. And a lot of times the powers fall from the top down into the... highways and the byways, and also with the movies and the computer games and all of those demonic things that they get involved in, it gets darker and darker. Instead of dressing up like little Bo Peep or something, they're dressing up like the Slayer person.
Yeah, no, the real heavy demons in comic books and comic books that have now become games and, you know, PlayStation stuff. And then that has become, then from there it goes to movies. To there it becomes role-playing games. You know, all of this stuff has a cumulative effect on consciousness, which it's really creating hell on earth. And unfortunately, the people here, they don't even realize. I can just tell you, like I said on Frank Whalen's show, I can just tell you that I hope you're ready for bloodshed, because America, that's what you're going to see. And I just hope you understand that that's going to be the cost. If there is any getting anything back, it will not come without bloodshed.
And it certainly is a very dangerous time for our nation, and I believe that. I believe exactly what you just said.
Those kids in Afghanistan, to me, that's another sacrifice, because, you know, the general is asking for troops. He says it's dangerous. And then the attitude is, well, I think I'll play golf by Bam, the president. I just call him Bam. Mm-hmm. I call him Bam now.
You know?
I don't know what else to call him. I can't respect him at all in any way, shape, or form, because he doesn't have the qualifications to lead. Doesn't have the qualifications. He's just a Marxist professor that wound up being president, who's handsome. Kids are pretty, and wife, all that. Nice little family. Fine. He's black. That's cool. Great. That was awesome, you know, in a way to kind of make that statement that, you know, rich white guys don't run everything. But on the other hand, it's Wall Street that put him there.
Amen. He's a Wall Street guy.
Yeah, yeah.
A banker guy, yeah. And when you talk about distributing the wealth, you see the poor people say, good, because I need some, and they don't understand that it isn't coming to them. It's going to the banker. Just like on this health care bill, he wants to take $500 billion, I think it is, away from the older people and just let them die in the hospice.
That's what he said.
And and give it to the wealth, this bill that they're trying to pass. It's called eugenics.
Of course.
We are in a very dangerous time.
Yeah, I
call myself an endangered species.
the healthcare mandate for young people, don't know this, but they're going to have 15% of their income is going to be taken from them, because if they don't buy healthcare, they're going to have to, like having mandatory car insurance. Same thing, you'll be docked and you'll be fined over $1,000 if you don't buy that policy. So young people today who are supporting all this, they don't seem to understand that what is going to be asked of them is going to be worse than if they had just gone out and bought a policy on their own.
Not only that, but they're killing the babies that would be able to support them when they get old.
Well, right. And you know, the idea of killing the old people is so that nobody remembers. You know, this is the communist plot. No one remembers freedom. Right. Kill all the people that remember what it was like, so that you have people that have been indoctrinated, the kids. That's how the People's Revolution in China occurred. That's how the Bolshevik Revolution occurred, through young people that didn't remember history, that didn't have any taste of freedom, that had nothing to lose by joining the revolution or the People's Rebellion. So you've got Venezuela chimed in. You've got Castro down there. And now we see just how, you know, America hating Hollywood is going down to kiss Castro's ring, Sean Penn, Michael Douglas. These guys must be very proud of their America, and they can't wait. Believe me, I know the Hollywood mentality. I grew up in it, and unfortunately I saw it. They like the idea of being elite while everyone else is poor. It just makes them feel that much more powerful, you know.
But they will get it as soon as they get into power. Mm-hmm. They always kill those first that brought them to power, believe me.
No, they have to do that.
You know, my husband was from Russia, and I know a lot about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
that's interesting.
The one time I had a visitation from the local police, and they, you know that book that I wrote, Solitary Satanist? They came to check that man out because of the fact that what had happened over near where he was from. There was a young boy that was that died. God, she was 20 some odd years old, and the parents took him and buried him, And they were out at the, well, the cops were checking this guy out to see if he was involved with what I'm going to tell you. And what they did is the parents went out to the graveyard, and they had buried this young man's wallet with him. And when they went to visit him at his grave later, they saw the wallet on the ground. So they went to the cops, and they dug the body up, and the wallet was gone, and so was the body. The grave, you couldn't tell that it had been disturbed at all. And so I told the cops, I said, well, here's what you do. If you will, on holidays, Christian holidays, Jewish holidays, when the moon is different and full or half or whatever, you go 18 days before that to the graveyard and you watch, and you will catch them, because they'll go 18 days before the high day to get their sacrifices. So they did that, and they caught the coven. And it made headlines. Of course, they didn't mention my name or anything. But the truth of it is this kind of stuff is going on all over the country.
So
Halloween has gotten very, very dark.
Yes.
I had a friend that went up to Salem, Massachusetts, and he called me and he said, Pat, I was ministering up here, and they really do need you up here. He said, they have painted most of the churches jet black. And he said at Halloween they have parades. And he said they go down the streets to the graveyard where they do their ritualisms. And so they are working right out in open.
Yeah.
But what I see so clearly, just like in Salem, Massachusetts, there used to be churches there. But as they get more and more and more power, the Church of Jesus Christ gets smaller and smaller. And what they like to do is they like to buy those particular churches that used to worship Jesus, because they like to desecrate the sacred grounds. And so, but Christians continue to walk along and willingly be blinded, and they will look at a person like me or you, and they'll say, well, you know, all they talk about is devils, and we don't like her, and we don't like him, and we're not going to listen to them. And they listen to these creeps that are speaking things that they have no idea even what they're talking about. And supernaturally, they're not supernatural, but the devils that take them over are supernatural, and they're leading the poor little Christians right down into the pit of hell. And so all we can do as ministers and people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to work while there is light, because he said the day will come when no man will work. And I think that's what he's talking about, the internet. You know, OB is what I call him, or sometimes I call him BO. you can figure that one out. You see, they want to shut the internet down because
net
there's
neutrality.
So much going forth that people are getting a hold to.
That's called net neutrality. That's the their pilot program. I mean, the idea of getting the foot in the door, and then, of course, taking it all over and having a government run where they can't even run the vaccines. How do you think they're going to run the internet? Terribly. But see, they like that it's going to be run terribly, because they don't want us having this conversation, or just any of you having conversations out there on the net either.
That's right. And you better write your congressmen and your senators and oppose that, because Jay Rockefeller is the one that introduced it. And so there's lots of power behind it, but we need power coming up behind it also.
They've already got, you know, hate crime legislation. I mean, it's all – they have everything but like 90% of everything under control. And like I told people, that's why you see us losing, you know, on purpose losing wars. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. And then let me get your take on, you know, I might as well ask everybody else, what's your take on the H1N1 and the vaccines, and what are they up to with that?
It's a genocide.
Beautiful.
They have a plan. If you go to Elberton, Georgia, they, in the 80s, from memory, they put up something called the Georgia Guidelines. And there was a man that came into the marble quarry there, and he called himself Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up a new Ten Commandment there, and it's called the American Stonehenge.
Right.
And they have written right on those stones that they want the world to be populated at only a half of billion people. And that was done in the 80s. They do have a plan that they're working on. Prince Philip over in England, they're all involved in all of this. He says he wants to come back, be reincarnated as a germ, so that he can kill billions of people.
Right.
And these people are not human. These people...
Obviously not. Obviously not.
They're not human, and they want to kill people. So this is one of the ways that they have to kill people. Now, yesterday on Fox News, they said that the pregnant ladies were lined up trying to get the flu shots, but they claimed they didn't have enough to give out. Well, see, anytime you make something scarce, you make it precious. So the pregnant women and the older people lined up around the block trying to get these swine flu shots. And what they want to do with the pregnant women is 2-for-1. And they've got stuff in those shots that sometimes, like we know, 2 or 3 different people around us that died within weeks, and sometimes it could be years. Sometimes
yeah, if it's a cancer virus that gets in, now you're talking years, but still they've done the job of doing away with them.
Yeah. And see, they want to pull the population down. And what's behind all of that? I wrote a newsletter up on remnantradio.org, and it was about the Garden of Eden. And one day I was, you know, the Lord just dropped some of the stuff in my mind, because I don't have a mind to have an understanding of these things. But I saw a news report, and it said that they had found the Garden of Eden through the satellite. And they said that the Garden of Eden was covered over by a mound, like a mountain. And the entrance, you know, there's 4 rivers that come from the Garden of Eden. And the mouths of those rivers have been covered over. And so I thought, you know, if they can find where the Garden of Eden is, they can find the Garden of Eden. And so these people are very, very evil. And so they have these tunneling devices now, where I saw a picture of it on television, where they can make deep underground tunnels. And as this machine goes underground to tunnel, it turns the rock into liquid, so they don't have to haul out what they tunnel. It just makes a tunnel. And so I got to thinking about the scriptures over in the Garden of Eden. And I had heard over the years that these insiders, that they want to create a new Garden of Eden on earth. And I said, now what's to stop them from tunneling down into the Garden of Eden and going and eating from the Tree of Life? Because if you look into all of your occult religions, and you know this because you've looked into more of them than I ever have, but they've all got the Tree of Life, right?
Right.
And so... what if these old people, and some of them are up in their 80s and 90s now, have gone down there and eaten up the tree of life? So you have to have scripture when you think of these wild type things. And so I went into the Bible, and in the book of Revelation, it says that the Antichrist spirit, Apollyon, will come up from the sea, and he will release armies of demonic forces. Some of them look like locusts, you know what I'm talking about?
All right.
And they will bite humans, and they will cry out to die. There's another corresponding scripture over in Daniel where they cry out to die. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reasons why God made Adam and Eve go out and leave the garden was he knew that because they had disobeyed and ate from the tree of knowledge, that it would only be a matter of time that they would eat from the tree of life. And if they did, they would remain forever in their flesh, in their fallen state. And so in Genesis 3:15, he gave the promise of sending the Redeemer, the Messiah, to redeem their spirit. And eventually our flesh will be redeemed too when the Lord returns. And so they believe that they can rule over the planet very well with half a billion people. So their goal has been, and they write it in their books, to kill more than 5 to 6 billion people on the earth. And I believe that's what's behind the flu shots. It's behind their Genesis plan, just like AIDS is behind, you know, that.
But it doesn't AIDS. Mean they're always going to be successful. They have had, remember, SARS. And remember, they've had so many other. They're trying to develop, you know, ethnic cleansing type of viruses that just work on one ethnic group or another.
Right.
They tried that with AIDS to get rid of the blacks in Africa. And this is, you know, ginned up by the not just the U.S. military, but obviously there's a whole bunch of scientists involved who are working with the eugenicists to try to get specific and look at how this H1N1 vaccine goes after young people.
Now, that's right.
Isn't that interesting?
And, you know, you've got these ultra-wealthy people like Bill Gates and his wife. And,
yes, Bill and Melinda, the beast.
Yeah, and see, they furnish money to go into Africa to shoot these poor little black people up. And, you know,
yep.
I hear from some
you
of
betcha.
My sources that when they come with those needles, some of them cry, run and hide
yes, they
because
do.
They say death is here.
Right.
And so,
same with the water, the Vivendi Corporation and others are involved in damming up the water so they can't, the people of Africa, you know, the native peoples cannot have free water, but they want to sell it to them as filtered water. And of course,
yeah.
you know, when they start filtering it, they start putting stuff in it. So the
yeah.
people don't want it. They go back to the dirty water. And they're getting diseases, and they say they'd rather take their chances with those diseases, cholera and so forth, with the dirty water, rather than take the water that is being provided. In other words, they'll turn the spigot on, but they want money from them.
Yeah.
Is that disgusting? These corporations
yeah.
going down there to charge those people for their water. Well, they're poor people. They don't have money for water. And a lot of these corporations are behind Obama, behind the New World Order, behind the UN. Ironically, in the Copenhagen Agreement, they're saying the developed nations have to pay these poor countries. Well, that's not true. That's not the essence of it. The essence of it is we have to pay the leaders with the promise that they'll pay the poor countries for us keeping them out. When it wasn't us, it was corporations beholden to this New World Order, UN cabal, and Al Gore. So, oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Well,
oh
you
my
know,
God.
Hell is going to be very hot for some of them. And to be
you
honest
hear that, Al?
With you.
Al, you hear that?
Yes.
Buddy,
you're
not looking too good there, Al.
He just looks so creepy, doesn't he?
He doesn't need a Halloween mask.
You know, it was a blessing that he didn't become president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, a guy that would launch a scam like that, and then, because I know that guys like that, I know people like that, and I've seen them, you know, out there with their charities, and then in the back room, laughing and high fiving each other that they duped the people once again, and then going and getting into all their depravity and, you know, all their legal sin, because they're allowed to sin and do all kinds of illegal things and not get busted. So they take advantage of that. That's one of the advantages of working your way up the ranks of Satanism. You get to, you know, really exercise the most depraved things that you could ever think of and get away with it.
Well, have you heard that most of them are leaving the country? A lot of these wealthy people
have been leaving, and of course, bank accounts have been transferred. Money has been transferred out of here faster than rats off a ship, a sinking ship.
Right.
So, you know,
I read an article where the Bushes had bought a lot of land down in Paraguay.
Paraguay, right.
And Paraguay was one place where some of the Germans went after World War II.
Yeah.
And I read an article where there were only two living Germans left down there. But what we're looking at, in my opinion, is not really communism. It's Nazism.
Yeah,
and
but they're all parcel of tyranny, right? I mean, it's
right, right. And they do have a plan, and as I said, the only hope I believe for us is if there are military people that believe in the Republic, and some of these people go into the military to fight for their country, and although they're over there in Afghanistan guarding the drugs so that they can put them out on the streets of America, they don't. Some of them really don't understand why they're there. They think they're there for Al-Qaeda, and there's no such thing as Al-Qaeda.
No.
And I think Osama's been dead for years.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that some of the military may still be Americans.
I think so.
Hope. Hmm?
I agree with you, and of course that means eventually bloodshed, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It does not mean that they're going to just kind of go over to the White House from the Pentagon and say, oh, would you please stop that?
No. It'll be, well, if something happens, it's going to be inside jobs.
Yeah.
And I believe something is getting ready, very dramatic to happen. I believe that they are trying to push that health care bill through.
On Halloween. It's a Halloween bill.
Reason for it is it controls 20% of American money, plus it controls the life of every person in America because they get to choose whether you live or die. Something goes wrong and it's a bureaucrat or a czar up there who is not human that makes the decision whether you get an operation or you don't get an operation.
It's the Nazi Pelosi bill. Nazi Pelosi and her bill.
Yeah.
This is her.
And see, all of these. Now, you're talking about witches. The Congress is filled with those California witches. You know that.
Yes, yes, I know all about that.
And that's exactly what's going on.
You mean like
there.
Babs Boxer?
yeah, all of them. And how about Ms. Hillary? Hillary used to go up on top of the White House, and she and her little coven would call down the demons from heaven on top of the White House, and then they would go down into the tunnels of the White House where they would do their witchcraft occult things.
Mm-hmm.
And
none of that surprises me, but I mean it'd be news. Most people out there who are skeptical would say, "Oh, come on, Pat. Now prove it." Yeah, prove it. And we say, "Well, if you were in a position to have proof, you would be killed that minute." So you know, so that's like.
Well, it was in the newspapers, you know.
Remember Nancy Reagan? You had Nancy Reagan and, you know, occultism. You've had, you know, this is kind of a tradition almost. that that witchcraft covens and blackmail kind of run the world, and of course run big commerce and run American commerce at this point. I'm not sure that even with the military deciding to rebel against unconstitutional orders, which would be the reason they would do it, because they would be given an order that's unconstitutional, that is to fire on American citizens, that is to confiscate weapons and invade people's houses without any kind of due process. Habeas corpus is out the window, but that they would be called to enforce that against the Constitution. And at that point, you're going to see if there's any patriots left at all.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
It would certainly have to be more than some people that had a few guns, I can tell you that.
Oh, no. It would be tank against tank, city against city, a little principality against principality. It would be outright civil war. And various factions of the military would be fighting factions of the military. It would be absolute pandemonium. And you know, the people that are in power, they're going to be loving that. They'll be toasting champagne. They want everything to fail. All wars, all endeavors, TARP, everything. They want it all to fail. Believe me, they want it to fail because that's what gives them power.
Yes.
So they don't want us to come out of this. So that's what you're facing, folks. You better start praying now. Pat Holliday is my guest, and I just was over at remnantradio.org. And all of her articles are there, especially ones you need to read about Halloween, about all these things we've talked about, and much, much more is at remnantradio.org. Also go to patholliday.com, get involved. Here is a sister who is, you know what, you're of no age. You're younger than a lot of people I know that are 20 years younger than me. You act younger than them.
Oh, thank you.
No, you do.
Thank you.
You're flowing in the spirit here. You're able to kind of go this way, that way, whatever way we go in this talk. You're just right with it, you know?
Well, you know, when I went up on the television with, what's his name, Sid Roth, I talked to him about how the Lord had given me a facelift over in Israel as a baby Christian. And when I came home, people thought that I had gone away and had a facelift, because when you come out of witchcraft, and I came out of the occult, it ages you. And he just wiped away all of the dark circles under my eyes and the wrinkles. And I remember when I had a hysterectomy, I came out from underneath the anesthesia. And the nurses and the doctors had magnifying glasses, and they were looking at my face real close with them. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're looking for scars. And there's no scars from any facelift because I never had one." So truth is God does keep you younger.
I just saw a picture of some people, you know, that just call them, you know, part of our extended family. And everything, I'm just not going to say what it, I'm not going to give that much specific, but they all, it was like a group picture. They all looked like eternally young, eternally eternal. You know, there's this light coming off of their faces, light coming off of their skin. There's this light emanating out. There's this radiating of the spirit. And I'm like, who could stop that? You know, compared to all the people I look at around here, there it's a dark and dreary, and you know, they just seem either a defeatist attitude or you know, which is actually good, because that means they're amenable to possibly listening to the gospel. But you know, there's a dark spirit on people today where you can, if they look black and you look in their faces, and it looks, even though they may have like a lighter skin, even light brown skin or white skin or even black skin, there's a darkness, that blackness in the spirit that just, it's like death. It's like these people are dead. And then when you talk to them, you realize, oh, they can't converse. Their tongues are tied. Oh, they're not really there. I'm talking to. And then they switch and show you, oh, there's someone else operating your body. You're not there.
Well, that's true.
So,
and they do take on the dark spirits.
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing. Like in witchcraft, and people that are deep in witchcraft, they can see us, but most Christians can't see them.
Mm-hmm. They know us right away.
And they know us by the light. And Bishop Kenko, he said that they are when they're wizards under the sea, that they come up and they are assigned Christians to make them fall. Mm-hmm. And he said that they can't get close to a Christian because they have a real Christian, okay? Mm-hmm. He said they have an angel on the right side and an angel on the left side. And he said the flames of swords are twirling in front of the Christian all, at all times. He said, but if that Christian backslides, those flaming swords start getting slower and slower and slower. And he said, and then when they get real slow as they're twirling, he said, the wizard sees an opportunity that he rushes a demon into that Christian. Mm-hmm. And they backslide.
I've seen them switch, you know, where they speak with a different voice. They speak with a different tongue. It's like you don't, you may have known this person for 20 years, and it's like suddenly you don't know who you're talking to. But it's not them. It's that a thing is taken over, and then you have to find out from, you know, you have to talk to that spirit. And, you've done this a lot, but you've got to talk to the person trapped in there. You know, if they want prayer, if they want to get out, if they want to get free, because it's their free will. They can stay in that bondage if they want.
And the only way that you can do that is to bind those devils up.
Right, right. You got to talk to them.
Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven and earth. And then, but you remember the story of the guy in Solitary Satanist?
Mm-hmm.
See, that man was totally demon possessed.
Right.
And yet, have I got time to tell you how he got converted?
Let's do that, and then that'll be a good finish to our show today. Thanks.
What happened to him was he was in his bedroom, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared, and he said he turned his head to the wall because, see, he was a man that was studying to be a preacher, but sent away to get witchcraft books to preach about, and ended up giving up Jesus within 6 months and setting up a satanic altar in his bedroom. And so he turned his head, and Jesus says, I want to talk to you. And he said, I have nothing to say to you. Daniel did. And so Jesus said, well, I've got something to say to you. And with that, he showed him a panoramic view of his life as a Christian studying to be a minister, and then as a Satanist trudging through graveyards and doing terrible things. Mm-hmm. And he said, which life did you like the best? He said, well, Lord, he said, I liked the Christian life. And he said, but Lord, he said, I've tried to get out. He said, but I can't get out. He said, I go to the church, and the pastors say that I'm okay, that I'm a Christian. Once I'm a Christian, always a Christian. He said, I have a woman that I'm going to send you to. And so he was working with this woman, and the woman kept saying to him, I'm praying for you. And he was going to work powers to try to kill her whenever he had this experience with the Lord. And so he thought that was the woman that Jesus was going to send him to. So he called her. She said, well, I don't know what to do, but I'll call my pastor. She called a number and got me, and she had heard about me, and she told me about Daniel. And she said, he's here right now. You want to talk to him? I said, yeah. And he got on the phone. He said, listen, this is not going to be easy. I said, look, just come on over. We'll take care of it. He says, you don't understand. This is not going to be an easy thing. And I said, look, I'm not afraid of you. You just get right over here, and we'll see. So he came over,
I like it.
And he came through the door, and that demon looked at me, and he says, I'm leaving. And I said, I forbid you to leave in the name of Jesus. I command you to sit down. So he sat down, and so he would try to get up, and you could see that the angels were holding him down. so that he couldn't leave. And I just went ahead and preached. And at the end of my preaching, he jumped up. He said, "I'm not staying." And some of the Spanish church men had just walked into church, and they ran over and nailed him on the floor. And then the war was on, and we cast him. We cast those demons out.
Wow!
But
it's such a cinematic image of, it's such a vivid image you just painted, and I wish I was there to have seen that.
You can practically see it in that book, Solitary Satanist. Yeah. But
and that's on patholiday.com, folks.
Also, yes.
Yeah, please go
Holiday.
There.
Holiday.com.
80 books, 40 available as a PDF ebook. And so patholiday.com is where it all happens. And from there, there's links to everywhere. And if you have any needs, of course, that you feel that Dr. Pat might want to help you with, or that you want to be contact her church. And her
tell
group.
Them about Miracle.
Yeah, the Miracle Internet Church and the Miracle Outreach Ministries. The number is right there. If you want to give the number, please go ahead.
It's Miracle Internet Church .com, and new things are coming up every day because we are putting up my ministry up on that link from 20 years back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so this is and this time of year. Believe you me, the warfare, sometimes you have to just admit something got in me, you know, that something got a hold of me. I need some help. And you got, who are you going to call? You know, fortunately we have places where you can fellowship online. You can call Dr. Pat or there are people that, are connected with this ministry also online. You can find them through my Facebook, see me on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, it's a lot easier to find people nowadays. That's one good thing about the internet. So, all right. My guest has been, my friend, Dr. Pat Holiday, you know, and we've had a conversation. And that's what I really love. I love it when we have a conversation where we just get into all kinds of things. And I know that the people out there, these are things they want to kind of talk about too. So, you know, you've joined us in, quite a spirited discussion, and just remember to, you know, support Miracle Internet Church, Pat Holiday Ministries. Dr. Pat would be, you know, very happy to talk to you, and you can see everything there and what she does. I know that, is Alan still webmaster?
Yes, he's webmaster over at patholiday.com.
Right, right.
MiracleOutreachMinistry.com. And this other Miracle Internet Church is like a blog more than a webpage.
Okay. But there are materials there you can read that will help. In other words, and don't be afraid to do the work. In other words, if you see someone that needs something cast out, you have the power to cast it out. I mean, mm-hmm. Go cast it out. You know, get together with a couple of brothers and sisters and go cast it out. Just deal with it. In other words,
well, that's what they learn up on Miracle Outreach, okay. Miracle Internet Church,
right.
And there's television shows up there, and MP3s are coming up every day, and it's going to be a place where they can go and find out what I do so that they can do it.
Amen, and we can all do it. The things Jesus did that he was trying to teach us, remember when he got mad at everyone when they couldn't even cast out a demon after they'd been walking with him a couple of years and they still couldn't cast out a simple demon? He was like, what am I going to do with you people? Just do it, you know?
That's right.
Just start doing it. You've got the power. You have the authority. You've got the knowledge. All you have to do is not be afraid. Just do it.
His name and it works.
Use his name. Take authority. You have authority in Christ over all devils and on the earth. So that's very
right.
Powerful. Well, that's another talk. I need to invite you back again because I'd love to have a chat with you, me, and Bishop Kanko if we could one day.
Well, when he comes to town, I'll Facebook you and let you know. You know,
very
when
powerful.
His wife comes to town, you need to talk to her, too, because she used to be a Muslim.
Yeah, I'm all for
and
it. Yeah.
She was blind when he ministered to her first and God opened her eyes, and she goes all over the world and preaches, too. She's a very deep minister.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is, well, I would expect nothing less from him to have another minister. I mean, you know, once we're in, it's like all of our families, we're all yoked together, mm-hmm. you know, and it's.
They can find him over in Medina, Africa, mm-hmm. Ghana, and his church is called the Vineyard Church. It's not connected with the vineyards in America. Mm-hmm. Bishop Kenko, they all knew him over there.
All right. Well, that was one of the most powerful shows I was ever involved in of all of them. Mm-hmm. Just the spiritual power that you can feel from this guy is unbelievable.
That guy, when he looks at you, he can see right through your body like that.
I know.
X-ray.
But he has this background that just nobody else has. It's so amazing, and he proves, you know, that look, if when you know, he's not going anywhere until God is ready, you know, ready. Because I mean, the dark side would have loved to have done him in a long time ago, but he continues on.
Yeah.
He continues on, and he did. I had so much feedback from that one interview we did; it was just unbelievable. All right, Dr. Pat, God bless you, sister. Please stay right there to wrap the show, and I'll be back to have a few words with you, folks. You're on the Zeph Report. This is Zeph Daniel. Over and out.